This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:19, Friday, the 11th of March, and of course you're listening to The Morning Run. In the meantime, let's talk about the Health Ministry's announcement that nightclubs remain on the ban list. So come April 1st, we know as a country, we are entering the transition into the endemic phase where 181 SOPs that were enforced by the National Recovery Plan will be reduced to a single SOP with 9 guidelines.
And in line with this relaxation of SOPs, the government has made revisions to the negative list, with only one type of premise remain closed during this transition, and which is nightclubs. The rationale given is that nightclubs are at high risk for the transmission of COVID-19. However, nightclubs have remained closed since the beginning of lockdown in March 2020. It has been 2 years. So what does this announcement mean for one of the late night entertainment scenes?
For a view, we speak to Jeremy Lim, Vice President of the Persatuan Bermilit Restaurant and Bistro. Good morning, Jeremy. Let's start with the perspective of restaurant and bar owners first. I mean, was the easing of restrictions like capacity limitation and operating hours, which start on the 1st of April, welcome? Or are you still facing confusion and challenges?
Hi, morning, guys. Glad to be back. Thank you for having me. The industry is definitely extremely grateful for the easing of restrictions. But as you can imagine, there will always be some level of confusion simply because the industry players were not consulted prior to any of the announcements made. So naturally, we will have some questions because the devil is in the details, right?
Mm.
So the million-dollar question right now, I know... it sounds very simple now. There's only 9 guidelines, you know, everybody just follows suit. But the devil is really in the details and in the fine print and the interpretation of enforcement teams. Put it simply, you know, does it mean that the tables that we have in the restaurant right now can sit full capacity? And within the table, there is no proximity or physical distancing. But from table to table, that means table A to table B, we maintain a 1 meter social distancing. No one has the answer right now. So, it's early days, you know, so we're really hoping that there will be some level of clarity in the coming days.
Are you expecting any engagement or have you already started engagement with the government?
We've been constantly trying to get some level of engagement going. We are hopeful that we will eventually get some clarity pre-1st of April.
But given the surge in Omicron cases lately, do you expect dining out to return to pre-pandemic levels? I mean, we've noticed somewhat of a drop in dining out in eateries lately and a lot of empty spaces.
The short answer is no. No, we don't expect the dining out levels to return to pre-pandemic levels as of April 1st or even April 2nd.
Mm.
But your observation is accurate. You know, in the past like 24 months, we have been told to stay home. Don't go Mariah if you don't have anything important. But now with the surging cases, the natural reaction from consumers is actually to stay home, right? And we can't expect human behavior to change overnight. But kudos to MOH. You know, they did a good move by consolidating all the data points and releasing it at the same time, so that we, Joe Public, you know, we see the whole picture, and we're not fixated or obsessed with just like the new daily case loads and stuff like that. I reckon it will take some time for the consumer confidence to return, but I'm optimistic that, you know, this will happen within the next quarter.
Okay, so let's shift our conversation to nightclubs and the fact that they still have to remain closed. Is this decision by the government now the ultimate death knell to operators after 2 years? I mean, what's the sentiment on the ground for the operators?
We night owls, you know, we are quite a resilient bunch. To be absolutely honest, we've been lobbying for, we've been rallying for and hoping for an engagement opportunity prior to the announcement, right? I mean, it makes sense, right? Before a government make any kind of announcement pertaining to the future of our industry, we were hoping that policymakers will sit down at the table and engage with us, right? We were really hoping that the policymakers actually recognize our fiscal contribution, and not to mention the jobs that we create, not to mention the talent that's within the industry, and as well as the potential tourism dollar that we can attract, right?
Yeah.
And with all that coupled, we were really hoping for a seat at the table.
Okay, so does this mean any of your peers are just, you know, saying, enough, I'm going to close shop because I really can't take it anymore? You know, whatever cash flow I've had, there's no cash flow at all and I've lost all my savings.
Yeah, I mean, 2 years, whatever cash flow you have also, I think, gone now, right?
Yes.
I have, because through the association, we have regular updates with our members, and we've received many messages from operators telling us that they are trying to sell their business. A lot of people have actually closed their business. We reckon that like at least a 20-25% closure rate has already happened. But to your earlier question, you know, sentiments, right? I think the industry is currently, this general sentiment is actually like frustration and to some extent panic. I mean, everyone has bills to pay, right? And everyone has people to answer to, like our staff, our landlords, our suppliers, and in turn they will have their own people to answer to and their responsibilities as well and their bills to pay. So I mean, I won't call this whole situation death new. Maybe it's a really large speed bump, but you know, we are optimistic that we will be able to come to the table and sit with the regulators and explain to them what are the steps that we can take to reopen.
And then what about those who assume that these businesses should just pivot to become a full-time restaurant or eateries? You know, can you explain to us why this is actually more difficult to do than said?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good question. You know, there's actually three main factors. Number one, you know, the premise license status. Number two, the enforcement officers or enforcement team's interpretation. And number three, the consumer reaction. Now, I'll explain what I mean by all these three points. Now, all the clubs have an entertainment license, right? And as you can imagine, this entertainment license is extremely hard to procure and to secure. So many of the local enforcements that we've engaged with thus far interpret it as such. If you want to operate, if you are a club and if you want to operate, you actually have to surrender your entertainment license. So naturally, not many of the big clubs want to go through that process, right? Mm. So assuming you surrender and you pivot, then comes the next hurdle. How do you convince consumers that you actually serve a decent meal, right? So there's these three factors that's playing in a lot of minds of the larger scale club operators. And I think I want to make clear, you know, what we're advocating for, what PPRB is advocating for, is for the premises to be allowed to pivot without terminating our entertainment license. I mean, to be fair, as a business owner, we should be given some level of freedom to convert our space to whatever viable and legal business venture. So be it, we take cue from the guys in Singapore where they converted their club into a cycling gym, you know, things like that should be explored and not just limited to being like, oh, you want to pivot, you must only become a restaurant. I don't think that is the way forward. But again, you know, we hope that by pivoting or by exploring other legal business ventures in and on our premise, you know, it doesn't mean that we need to terminate our entertainment license.
Okay.
Maybe a moratorium to it.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Jeremy Lim, Vice President of the Persatuan Millet Restaurant and Bistro, giving us some suggestions in terms of the flexibility that they want, right? So if you ask me, he says, okay, you know, I've got this entertainment license. I don't want to give it up. But should the government then make me take up another license? Should I give it up? Why not? I agree with him. Why can't the government be a little bit more
flexible?
Yes.
And nimble.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a space that's sitting there and not being occupied and paying rent for some people, or maybe, you know, financing or whatever. So why not we use the space and do something else, something more useful, and keep the business afloat and not cancelling their license?
Yeah.
So that when the time is right, let them reopen.
Yes, I'm sure there are many people who miss the nightclub scene. When was the last time you listened to a clubby music? Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.